Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one, it was on this day back in 1936 that the SPEBSQSA was founded. So what does SPEBSQSA stand for? Is it A, a group promoting backup singers for recording sessions? Is it B, a group promoting barbershop quartet singing? Is it C, a group promoting square dance callers? Or is it D, a group promoting Scottish bagpipers? 1936, SPEBSQSA. Which group was that anyway? And question number two, it was on this very day back in 1939 that Marian Anderson performed at which location in Washington, D.C.? Was it A, Constitution Hall? Was it B, Lincoln Memorial? Was it C, the White House? Or was it D, the Capitol? Marian Anderson, 1939. Where did she sing? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of April the 9th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1956, that Nat King Cole was beaten up on stage by a group of racial segregationists in Birmingham, Alabama. 1956, today. And it was 63 years ago today, 1958, that singer Buddy Holly's Fender Stratocaster was stolen in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. His replacement guitar was also stolen later this same month, April 1958. Parking Lot by The Weather Station. It's a review of the album by The Weather Station called Ignorance, and it's given 4 out of a possible 4 stars. It's published in The Week magazine on the 26th of February, 2021, and this introduces our folk and music news. Canadian singer-songwriter Tamaris Lindemann has a voice that begs to be heard. Delicate but steady, a breeze that can build towards a gale when the situation demands it, said Justin Curto in NewYorkMag.com. On Ignorance, her ever-changing band drops all remnants of its folk origins. The new Weather Station is more, quote-unquote, electric than ever, drawing on the precision of jazz and the groove of disco to create an eerie, driving backdrop for what might loosely be described as a album-length statement about climate anxiety. The new sound suggests a millennial Joni Mitchell, confronting jazzy versions of LCD sound system or The National, said Jonathan Bernstein in Rolling Stone. Lindemann's lyrics, meanwhile, range from a confession of stage fright, parking lot, which is playing in the background now, to a revealing in the planet's beauty, Atlantic, to a reckoning with capitalist greed, Robber. She has created a breakup record with her own dying planet, and it solidifies the 36-year-old as one of the most audaciously inventive auteurs working in the broad singer-songwriter tradition. And once again, that was The Weather Station and their new album, Ignorance. And in classical music news, we have this article reminding us how worldwide the pandemic effects on music continues to be. The article is titled 2021 Osaka International Chamber Music Competition and Festa Canceled. This is published in theviolinchannel.com on the 6th of April, 2021. The Japan Chamber Music Foundation has canceled the 2021 Osaka International Chamber Music Competition and Festa due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Postponed from the original date last year, we have been preparing for the competition and Festa to be held this May, a statement by the Japan Chamber Music Foundation said. However, with COVID-19 still spreading all over the world, it prohibits us from international travel. Therefore, there is no certainty that we can welcome all the attendants from abroad and for them to engage in their activity in Japan. For this reason, it is not possible to hold an international event with definite safety and equality for all the attendants at this unusual time. We have great respect for the splendid efforts all the attendants have made, and we thank all the people for their devotion to the competition and Festa. Meanwhile, as noted in a March 9, 2021, CBSSports.com article by Shana McCarston, the Tokyo 2021 Olympics and Paralympics are still set to start in Tokyo this July, but foreign visitors evidently will not be permitted. The Games had already been delayed from 2020 to 2021 due to the pandemic. Japan's plans to have the Olympics this summer have met with pushback from many fans, media members, and Japanese citizens.
Yeah, we like baseball and hot dogs. Your Ferris Bueller and I'm your day.
Lake Street Drive's Know That I Know introduces our CD review of Lake Street Drive's album titled Obviously. And it's given 3 out of a possible 4 stars, published in The Week magazine on March 26th, 2021, and introduces our jazz music news. The 5 oddballs of Lake Street Dive refuse to think small, said David Brown in Rolling Stone. At a moment when major pop stars are peddling homespun lo-fi intimacy, the eclectic jazz pop whatever band has produced its first yacht rock record. With all the hooks, musical interplay, sophistication, and sometimes dodgy lyrics of that genre. Fortunately, singer Rachel Price, with her jazz background, remains one of the lithest vocalists in modern pop, and the music feels newly limber, elastic, and cohesive, beginning with Hypotheticals, an opener that recalls the studio-polished R&B of Steely Dan. The album's peaks are so high and so satisfying, says Mark Hirsch in the Boston Globe, that the band isn't sunk by the competent, if uninspired, lounge funk that it falls back on when it runs out of ideas. Price and her bandmates have, to my ears, never sounded better, said Mark Kennedy in Associated Press. If you haven't heard Lake Street Dive before, you need to make this band part of your life.
And we'll be there to colonize the moon.
Janae Aiko's None of Your Concern introduces our pandemic adjustment news. It's an article entitled, Hear Janae Heal. The 32-year-old R&B singer's therapeutic approach to her 2020 album, Chilombo, netted multiple Grammy nods and a new sense of self. This is written by Marcus Jones, published in Entertainment Weekly, February 2021.
Mistake, and trust me, she really don't want me. That's besides the point. I'm disappointed as a homie. What is it you see? I want better for you moving forward. What's better for you to me? Guess that's none of my concern anymore. None of my concern.
Grammy nomination morning was a bittersweet one for Janae Aiko. An hour after learning she was up for some of the biggest awards of her career, including Album of the Year for her third record, The Curative Chilombo, Aiko found that her uncle had passed away. To be honest, it was a weird, out-of-body kind of moment, which is usually how I live my life. Typically, Aiko responds to big events, both good and bad, with a sense of confusion. To clear her head, she'll often put her thoughts down on paper. I started off always feeling like I needed to write what I was feeling and then turn it into a poem and then turn them into songs, eventually, she explains. That's how I approach every album. The difference in making Chilombo, though, was in finally recognizing her own power as an artist, thanks to the feedback she received from fans. One of the methods Aiko decided to incorporate into each song was the use of sound bowls. Because I have been studying sound healing, I did want this album to have an actual proven healing technique in every track. Not only could people listen to it and relate, it could also balance out different parts of their body, make them feel better, and have it actually be an experience to listen to the songs. The success of Chilombo, along with its Grammy nominations, the record bowed at number 2 on the Billboard 200, and the reality of America still being in quarantine, have only further pushed Aiko to continue writing about anything and everything. In a time that most people perceive as dark or chaotic, that's where I find my inspiration. That's when I'm my most creative, she says. So I'm not saying that I'm hoping for another crazy year, but whatever happens, There's always something to be inspired by.
Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go. Let it go. Turn my back and slam the door. The snow glows white on the mountain tonight. Not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen.
Demi Lovato's Let It Go introduces our rock and pop music news. It's an article entitled The Many Lives of Demi Lovato. This is written by Stephanie Zacharek and published in Time magazine on the 29th of March, 2021. In the YouTube documentary Demi Lovato Dancing with the Devil, the 28-year-old singer and actor speaks openly about her battles with early eating disorders and drug addiction, focusing most acutely on the 2018 overdose that nearly killed her. But the most revelatory words in the film belong to a selection of her fans. Young women with makeup so precise and polished they look as if they're suspended in a world smoothed out by an Instagram filter. One nearly runs out of breath as the words tumble out. I love what she does for young girls and her music. It just saved my life. Another beams, I don't think she actually understands how much of an impact she has on her fans. That kind of adultery would weigh heavily on anyone's shoulders. And Lovato, a veteran of child beauty pageants who was working in television by age 7, carries it responsibly. In Dancing with the Devil, directed by Michael D. Ratner, Lovato is straightforward in discussing addiction and recovery. I'm not going to pretend like I'm invincible, she says. Through her immaculately undone hair and daytime smoky eyes, not to mention her talon-like glamour nails, suggest that just living up to being Demi Lovato is all-consuming. There's a veneer of professionalism to everything Lovato does and says in Dancing with the Devil. Not one out of dishonesty or evasion, but perhaps because she knows how many young people hang on her every word. Many of her fans have been with her since she starred in the Disney Channel's 2008 film Camp Rock, or perhaps even since her stint on the children's TV series Barney and Friends. When you grow up in the public eye, what does it even mean to have a private self? As with another performer who grew up in the Disney spotlight, Britney Spears, the subject of Framing Britney Spears, a recent episode of the FX docuseries that detailed the pop star's fight to wrest control over her money and her life, Lovato's transition into adulthood has been rocky. A clip from the 2008 American Music Awards shows a television host asking her, with aggressive jocularity, how she's able to write songs about romantic suffering. How much heartbreak can you have at 16? This clip appears in the documentary just after Lovato has revealed to us that her first sexual experience as a teenager was rape, a non-consensual act with no repercussions for the perpetrator. Sexual abuse, exhausting touring schedules, pressure from childhood to look or behave a certain way, the knowledge that employees are relying on you, possibly to support a family, any of those things could cause even a strong person to buckle. Life is fluid and I'm fluid, Lovato says towards the documentary's end, referring not just to her ongoing recovery, but probably to her sexuality as well. As a result of her overdose, Lovato suffered a heart attack and 3 strokes. She is now, she says, on her 9th life, with Dancing with the Devil shows her on the edge of a springboard rather than a cliff. Lovato looks freer and younger, less like a matron in training. By the film's end, She seems more like a teenager than most teenagers, ready to build a new self from the old one she barely got the chance to know. And in local music news, we have this article titled, A Sound Centuries Old. In a woodworking studio near High Point, instruments lost to history are making music once again, while the craftsman finds his true calling. This is written by Tony Rehagen, published in Our State magazine, April 2020. Caleb Byerly opens the door to his backyard storage shed on the outskirts of High Point and flips on the overhead fluorescent lights to reveal a cramped but orderly workshop. Saws, chisels, and hammers hang neatly on the pegboard walls. Shelves are lined with bottles of epoxy and jars of shellac, bits and other materials, and in the corners stand racks of raw wood and bamboo. The air smells of sawdust. Leaning against his bench in the center of the space, sitting in a pile of shavings, is a slender 4-foot-tall piece of mahogany carved down to something resembling an elongated lute. He imagines this hunk of wood sounds about right. He can only imagine, though. While in the Philippines, the village elders helped Byerly by sharing their childhood memories, and Byerly studied passages of a Western explorer's 1800s journal that describe Manambo music and instruments in detail. He and the local makers set up shop, gathering wood and crafting tools, and eventually they emerged with their best facsimile of a kudlong. The first time the instrument was played, parents and children danced and sang. Some of the elders wept. One elderly woman came to me in tears, saying that this was a sound that she hadn't heard since her childhood, Byerly says. I was honored to be a part of that moment. In the process of helping other people reclaim their lost culture, Byerly has also claimed his own, Carolina birthright. His native High Point, called the home furnishings capital of the world, has been a center for woodworking ever since European settlers began crafting furniture here among the vast hardwood forest in the 18th century. By the turn of the 20th century, the area's more than 40 factories were supplying much of the South with home furnishings. Back in his shop, Byerly has pulled down one of the Native American-style flutes. Bringing the flute to his lips, he improvises a tune to test it out, something he feels in the moment. And if you close your eyes and listen to the high tones of the woodwind over the drone of cicadas, played in loose time to the rustling pines, you can almost transport your mind to another era, centuries ago, when this land, that sound, and the person who originally made it were last in harmony. Then you open your eyes to see a modern-day woodworker, a musician, a believer, completely at home in this place and time. So, how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this day back in 1936 that the SPEBSQSA was founded. What does that stand for? Is it A, a group promoting backup singers for recording sessions? Is it B, a group promoting barbershop quartet singing? Is it C, a group promoting square dance callers? Or D, a group promoting Scottish bagpipers? And the correct answer? Answer B. SPEBSQSA stands for the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America. As indicated in barbershop.org, barbershop quartet singing now has international organizations that hold annual conventions and competitions. The website indicates that while there will not be an in-person gathering this summer, the Barbershop Harmony Society is looking ahead to the next international event in Charlotte, North Carolina in 2022. The health and safety concerns that have impacted every part of life for the last year led to the decision that an in-person convention this summer was simply not feasible. Meanwhile, Charlotte in 2022 will offer the biggest, most inclusive contest ever. The Society is working hard to make the process of refocusing on 2022 as easy as possible for all concerned. And the answer to our second question, it was on this day back in 1939 that Marian Anderson performed at which location in Washington, D.C.? Was it A, Constitution Hall, B, Lincoln Memorial, C, the White House, or D, the Capitol? Correct answer? Answer B, Lincoln Memorial. As noted in a 2020 PBS.org broadcast, Marian Anderson, the legendary African-American contralto, sang at the Lincoln Memorial on Easter Sunday in 1939 after she was refused a performance at Washington's Constitution Hall by the Daughters of the American Revolution because she was black. Over 75,000 people attended her performance, which was broadcast live on the radio and arranged in part by First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt with the support of her husband, President Franklin D. Roosevelt. It was a bold protest against racial intolerance performed before a diverse crowd. In that moment, Anderson, despite being a fiercely private person, transformed into a symbol for the nascent civil rights movement, even inspiring a 10-year-old Martin Luther King Jr. who listened on the radio. We've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.